Hi, I'm Pat Bulmer with Labor Start, and this week we'd like to welcome Bea Brusk, President of the Canadian Labor Congress, who's joining us to talk about anti-scab legislation that's working its way through the Canadian Parliament. The legislation will cover federally regulated workers who make up a small but significant part of the workforce. And thanks for joining us, Bea, and can you give us a little update on where the anti-scab bill is at and how do we get it over the finish line?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on this podcast, Pat. I very much appreciate it. Anti-scab legislation is such an important piece of legislation to balance the power at the bargaining table, and it's something that labor has been calling for many decades. Folks will know that it was introduced on November 1st. A bill was introduced, Bill C-58 was introduced November 9th at Parliament, and just this past February, we had a all-party acceptance of a second reading. So all parties voted in favor unanimously, which was quite surprising, at second reading. The bill is now at committee stage, so I'll actually be heading to the HUMA committee next week to be giving testimony on this particular bill and why it's so important, but we still have a long way to go before this bill becomes law. There's certainly some changes that we want to see. We want to make sure that this legislation, once adopted, is enacted as quickly as possible. Government is looking at an 18-month timeline, and we really think a lesser timeline immediately would be best, right? You know, we've been advocating for this for many years. Workers are relying on this, and so we need to get this happening in a much quicker fashion.
Yeah, the 18 months is quite notable in this bill. How do we get it across the finish line faster than that?
Well, first of all, getting to committee and getting that piece out of the way and hopefully not having too many amendments being proposed at committee so that we can try to streamline the process is critically important. But it's really important that all workers continue to speak out about the importance of this bill. We know that anti-scab legislation already exists in Quebec and in BC. We know that legislation was tabled just last month in Nova Scotia. And Manitoba was attempting to table this legislation. It was held up by the Tories at the Manitoba legislature just a few weeks ago, who were trying to do everything they can to not see this legislation being tabled there. But it's critically important that it's not just labor leaders that speak up, but also that all workers' voices are heard about the importance of this. You know, when workers decide that they need to go on strike, those are kitchen table conversations that happen with their families. Those are not easy decisions. You know, those folks who might never have been in the situation to contemplate going on strike may not understand what goes into that decision-making process. First of all, it's what is the employer offering me? What can I accept? What do I need in order to actually live? We have an affordability crisis. Wages and benefits are always a high priority. But, you know, in my experience, the issues as to why workers go on strike often go far beyond wages and benefits. It's often a respect and dignity issue. It's often a quality of life issue associated with scheduling, with a workplace concern that may not have been addressed, with health and safety issues. And so workers don't make those decisions lightly, and no worker should ever have to make that decision under the heading of, I'm worried that if I walk a picket line, that somebody else is going to swoop in and take my job. So it's critically important that workers have the decision-making process to deal with the facts, not worried about whether or not they're going to be out on a picket line for 4 months or longer. And then it's, you know, it really is a way to set the table to bring the parties together to earnestly try to get to that deal, to really level that playing field of having that employer be serious about getting to a collective agreement.
On that theme, can you do any examples come to your mind where anti-scab legislation might have made a difference or might make a difference in the future? One that comes to my mind, and they're not a part of the CLC, but right now is Unifor's auto port strike is certainly one example. Anything come to your mind?
Well, that one definitely comes to my mind because I was on their picket line last week on Tuesday, stopped by that picket line when I was in Nova Scotia. And, you know, the tragedy about that strike is they're in their fifth week now, I believe. And on day one, that employer was using scabs. And so that is the most pressing example as to why you need anti-scab legislation. When an employer is busy filling the positions behind the scenes and bringing in people from all across the country to continue that work, instead of focusing on getting a deal at the bargaining table, that is exactly everything that's wrong with an employer's approach to bargaining. You know, the only reason why I'm active in the labor movement is because I found myself on a picket line for 4 months as a teenager. And in that particular case, the employer utilized strikes to keep that workplace functioning. It was at a grocery store. People were, you know, coming to work, crossing the picket line, and people were hired to actually continue having those grocery stores work. And that strike would never have happened for that extended period of time if it had not been for the employer actively hiring and promoting scabs. And so there's so many examples over the years in every single province that I think we can all point to. The fact is that when scabs are an opportunity for employer to keep their workplace functioning, they're not going to get serious at the bargaining table to avoid a strike.
You mentioned BC and Quebec have anti-scab legislation, and Manitoba is trying to get it introduced. Would having this on the federal level help push it a little more in some of the provinces?
Absolutely. We know that at the federal level, this will cover approximately 1 million employees. So that's not nothing. That is pretty substantial, right? We don't see that many strikes at the federal level that utilize scabs, but having it at the federal level just entrenches this kind of a concept and makes it more of a reality for everyone else to follow. You know, the sky isn't going to stop, shining tomorrow by introducing this. I was recently at the Manitoba Legislature where the Manitoba Minister of Labor was being asked by the media this question about what will happen when anti-scab is introduced. And as she put it, nothing will change. The sun is still going to shine. You know, life is going to go on. Workplaces will continue to function. All that it means is that we're going to have a balance. And when there is a strike, it's going to mean that there's going to be a quicker resolve and less fracture on that picket line, right? We've seen situations of picket line violence. We've seen when people are desperate and people get very emotional and very, very angry when they see scabs walking in and taking their jobs while their families are having a hard time making ends meet. This is going to avoid those kinds of situations.
The Conservatives, you mentioned earlier, a little surprisingly, supported the sending the legislation to committee. Do you think they'll continue to support it, or are you concerned they'll find a reason to change their minds when the final product comes back?
I cannot imagine that the Conservatives are going to be wanting to do the final third reading vote in favor of this legislation. I think this is political gamesmanship, quite frankly. You know, Pierre Poilievre is very good at saying that he speaks on behalf of workers and that he has workers in mind. His policies don't bear that out. The CPC caucus supporting this legislation was surprising to us. But at the end of the day, we have to work our way through committee without getting through a whole bunch of amendments that might be thrown that way. We have to make it through the Senate without, you know, potential senators throwing a whole bunch of amendments that they want to see being thrown in the way. And it's really important that we have strong anti-scab legislation, not that we have gaping holes to essential services that render it almost moot, right? So it's really important that we get this legislation down pat in a positive kind of way, and there are still many things that can go wrong. So we're going to be on high alert. We're going to be calling on government to pass this quickly and to pass it in a very robust way.
My colleague, Derek Blackadder, who wasn't able to make it, had a question as well. He points out there's been some mild criticism of the Congress prioritizing anti-scab legislation rather than perhaps pushing sectoral bargaining, worker-friendly definitions of employee, or other changes that might make organization easier or more attractive. How would you respond to those criticisms, and which ones fall on your priority list?
Well, I have to tell you, our priority list is exceptionally long, and it's not an either-or. It's an and, you know, this, 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 and this that needs to follow. So we have an opportunity to really push for anti-scab legislation right now because of the supply and confidence agreement between the NDP and the Liberals. The NDP very much pushing this legislation. As you may remember, the Liberals ran on this, but only in the case of a lockout, not in the case of strike, and it was due to Jagmeet and the NDP that it was expanded to cover both strikes and lockouts. So being part of the SACA meant that we had an opportunity to work on this very quickly and to really try to push this issue forward. So we have to take every opportunity we can on any labor issue when it comes up and really go 100% in on those particular points. That isn't to say that sectoral bargaining isn't critically important. Of course it is.
absolutely critically important, especially in those industries that are very much client-driven industries, right, where workers, you know, get really taken advantage of, where they work for many different employers, but still in the same workspace, doing the exact same work, but their uniform changes and their wages never seem to go up. We have so many pieces of sectors that really need this kind of legislation that we're going to continue to push that to. And we know the BC government is doing a good job on that. But, you know, we have also an affordability crisis. Making sure that we make progress on the care economy and investments in our healthcare system, in our social services, making sure that we get pharmacare over the finish line. We have an introduction to it. We have a long way to go on pharmacare. Making sure that dental continues to grow. These are all so many priorities that we are pushing on, including Bill C-50, the Sustainable Jobs Act. It's critically important that workers have a future where their jobs are going to be protected, and where there are new job opportunities, and where there's training, and where people can continue to stay in the communities that they currently reside in, right? Because you're going to have a job to go to. So there are many, many priorities, and I would not say that anti-scab is to the exclusion of all of those other things. It's a yes and.
Can you fill me in a little more on the Sustainable Jobs Act that you just mentioned?
Absolutely. The Sustainable Jobs Act is something that was tabled last year, and it's been working its way through Parliament. The challenge, really what the Sustainable Jobs Act calls for is a tripartite approach to figuring out where those future job opportunities are and how we transition workers. So it really calls for employers, labor, as well as levels of government to come together to look at job opportunities, to look at sectors at risk, to look at where investments need to go, and to look at how we transition workers into those sustainable jobs. So it is critically important. So many workers are in industries that have to pivot and that are already pivoting, and so many workers are really worried about their future, right, for themselves and as well for their children coming up, right, especially when you're talking about smaller and northern communities where employment might be somewhat limited. And so building in those training opportunities, building in early intervention, good investments, and not just creating jobs, but creating good family and community sustaining jobs is critically important. So that's a very, very high priority for us to get it over the finish line. It's incredibly frustrating to me that the Tories are dragging that legislation out. I went to committee hearing back in October. They basically wasted two hours of committee arguing about mundane things rather than dealing with the issues at hand within that bill, right? And, you know, what better way to try to find solutions than to bring people together, right? Labor, business, levels of government. Who could argue with that? And yet Polyev does seem to have a problem with that.
B, this has been a very informative session. I thank you for giving us a little bit of time today.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much, Pat.